Blog Talk Radio.
Happy Sabbath, family. This was my last day at Amazon on today, and I'm like so relieved. It's like I got so much pressure off of me. And yet, I know the things to come, and, you know, I don't have any time to waste. Things that still need to get done, and looking at the news and I was at the doctor's today, went to a cardiologist to get my heart checked out, and, you know, he's saying, hey, you know, everything looks good, your heart has returned to a normal rhythm, He thought that they had shocked me, shocked my heart to get it to return back to a normal rhythm, because I don't know if that's unusual or not. They tend to, you know, think that they have to shock you when your heart goes into AFib, shock you so that your heart goes back into a normal rhythm. But they didn't shock me. And my heart returned to a normal rhythm on its own. But he's saying, you know, it's still too early to tell whether I can come off of blood thinners. Because it has returned to a normal rhythm, then, you know, the chances of me getting another blood clot is way less than if it was still in AFib, then I would have to stay on these blood thinners. So, you know, the Most High's word is good. He's true to his word. I'm going to come out of this thing stronger than I was. And, you know, we are praising him for the good report. I was also looking at there's starting to be a water shortage. And it's not going to just be where I'm at. A lot of the states are starting to experience water shortages. The water tables are dropping underground. The water that is underground is in a lot of areas like Houston and L.A., the big cities. The water is, you know, polluted because, you know, people dumping oil and chemicals and all that stuff into the ground, and not understanding that it don't have any place to go but down, and it seeps into the water table and pollutes the water, and they can't, you know, certain things they just can't clean out. They, you know, they look for the water to be clean through natural filter, you know, filtration. And so when the people are dumping chemicals onto the ground, gasoline and oil and you know, pesticides and all that stuff, it has no place to go but down. So they were talking about how this water is unclean, and how there's a shortage coming up, you know, in different areas. And so, you know, it put place on me and on my heart all the more that we need to get this atmospheric water generator to pull the water out of the air. The groundwater is going to become so expensive, and I don't really, you know, care where you're at. It's going to become more expensive. And so I am more and more of the mindset that, you know, I need to figure out a way to get one of these, you know, for the land, because it's going to be vital, not only to us, but I also believe that we would be selling water to surrounding neighbors. That is what is, you know, coming into my heart that we would do. So, you know, come up with the money, and the Most High will make a way for the machine to pay for itself. Provide us with water and pay for itself. Anyway, you know, it's something that we need to look into, definitely doing. Because, you know, in 2022, next year, they're supposed to start water rationing in Arizona, Texas, Colorado, California, those areas. And I haven't looked at the rest of the country, but it will be basically the same thing. And so this is part of the plagues that the Most High has said would come, the pestilence. And so, you know, we need to be able to foresee it, and he will help us either way. He will help us either way. But he's really putting it on my heart to actually get one of these. And we will be able to help more than just ourselves. That being said, happy Sabbath to you all. We greet you in Pal Talk, on Blog Talk, on the internet in general, wherever you may be. We greet you in the Master's name of Yeshua HaMashiach. We pray that you have had a blessed week. For those of us who have been going through, we pray your strength in the Most High. We pray that you keep your focus on Him, that you get a genuine fear of Him. So if you feel like you're going to fall, if you feel like you're going to go backwards, that let the fear of Him stop you from failing, stop you from tripping up, stop you from falling, and then further, you know, being in condemnation of self. The Most High is able to keep us, and He's able to deliver us. And you have to believe that He is. As long as we're doing what we're supposed to do in serving Him, He is always going to keep us and make sure that, you know, things come out all right for us. And, you know, that is my faith. That is my belief. That is what I walk in. That is what I depend upon, that the Most High is going to deliver. So no matter what you may be going through, if it's a time of tempting, just understand, let your fear of the Most High and transgressing His laws and having His condemnation, let it keep you from falling. Let it keep you from doing that which you know you ought not to do, the fear of Him. And I am thoroughly, 1,000% convinced. You have the proper fear of the Most High, and you believe that He's going to do what He said He's going to do. That is enough. You know, the more we read in His Word, the more we understand that, you know, He reiterates over and over and over again the fear of Him. And so that should keep us. And, you know, it's keeping me, trust me. Yeah, there is just nothing that I know of that I would allow to tempt me right now in that way, because I fear His wrath. I fear His judgment. I know that what He says He's going to do, even if I don't see it tomorrow, if I don't see it before I close my eyes, if I go to sleep as in death, in that condition, I know when I wake up, I know what the judgment is, and it's not anything pretty. You know, the lake of fire is nothing nice, and He made it that way intentionally. You know, so I don't think that very many people really understand the lake of fire, and that they're going to be in there alive and being able to feel that fire. It's designed. You're going to be given immortality. You can't die, but you can still feel. And it's designed, this fire is a different type of fire because it's designed to hurt spiritual beings. And the Most High says there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. But it's going to be horrendous. And so, you know, I would much rather, I would much rather be and obey the Most High than to ever even risk going to the lake. And I may already be sentenced to the lake. And if I am, then that is the Most High's judgment, and his judgment is righteous because, you know, as I said, we were taught wrong. We were just taught flat out wrong. And we were not taught about the Elohim of this book. He is a loving Elohim, a loving God. He is a merciful God, and He is gracious. Until He's not. And it's more apt that He's not than He is. And we're learning that as we read. He will, if we do what we do in ignorance, He is quick to forgive. He says, just confess it. Turn away from it. And I will forgive you because you did it in ignorance. And I can't restate this stuff enough. But what we do willfully, you know, we literally, for real, take our salvation in our own hands, and we are putting it in a place that you are not guaranteed that the Most High is going to forgive you. I am not guaranteed that He's going to forgive me. But now that I know better, I have to do better and rely upon His mercy. And if He chooses not to have mercy, his judgment is still going to be righteous. And so I will just serve him with everything that I have and that I am, and pray that he is merciful. Because the truth of the matter is, the way we've been taught, you know, the vast majority of people are going to the lake. And that's why he says, you know, many are called and few are chosen. That's why he says the road to hell is short and wide. The road to the kingdom is short, is long and narrow. There's a reason he says those things. And we have to believe him. And, you know, not put ourselves in positions where the Most High is going to have to judge negatively. He says his judgments, you know, they're righteous, and we can't put ours over his. And so, you know, I don't want to dwell on that on this Shabbat. I just want to say that don't take your salvation for granted, and don't think that the Elohim that we serve, that he is just all forgiving. You know, I just have to be honest. That is just a flat out lie. He is all forgiving when you first come to him. And that's the gift that Messiah gave us, that we, when we first come to Messiah, that we can have all our sins forgiven. But that is not an ongoing, forever, continual process. Doesn't work that way. From after that point is, you know, what we do in ignorance. He says he'll forgive. What we do willfully, it's not a good outlook for that. And so the more I read and the more I understand and the more I look at how the Most High conducts business, what his expectations are, the more I just have to just tell people, no matter what, he don't play. And we can take him for granted all we want. We're just making ourselves feel good for a moment. But the truth of the matter is, his judgments and his righteousness, he's not going to let people get away with things. That's why he says he will not be mocked. So we can think that we're getting away. It's the bottom line. We can think that we are getting away with stuff. And we can think that, you know, the Elohim I serve is just all forgiving. You know, and all I got to do is say I'm sorry and come back to him. He'll let you get away with that once or twice. But the truth of the matter is, he's looking at everything in two different lights, whether it's ignorant or whether it's willful. The two different types of sin, willful sin and ignorant sin. That's all he's looking at. And so, you know, we have to be mindful of that and become very fearful, because people think that this ticket to heaven, this ticket into the kingdom is just, you know, it's a free stamp with free renewal on it. He's going to keep stamping it, you know, renewing it every time that we sin. And that just couldn't be further from the truth. And the more, you know, that the Most High reveals about his nature, the more I realize that we have to believe him. He didn't have the stuff written just to have it written. He didn't say, fear me, just to be saying something to spook us or to scare us. He didn't do that. And it's just too consistent throughout all his word. It's not one time. So, and I really do wonder what spirit is at play here that people can't see that. You know, I'm wondering what was wrong with me. Why did he all of a sudden allow me to see it, to see his word in this light? You know, I had a respect of him, but I don't think I really had a fear, an honest to God fear of him, until he really showed me, this is who I am. And when you get the clouds out of your eyes, and you really hear what I'm saying to you, I'm not playing, and I will not be mocked. And you know, it's not my desire, it's not my will that any of you should be lost. But my judgment is going to stand, and I'm not a respecter of persons. And so we genuinely have to really be afraid, you know, of him and walk in his ways. All right, that being said, as I said, I want to greet everybody, no matter where you're at, North America, South America, the continent of Africa or Europe, wherever you may be listening. We greet you in the only name whereby men must be saved. The name of Yeshua HaMashiach, or in the English, Jesus the Christ. And we pray that if you have not been, quote unquote, saved, that you make that a priority in your life, because tomorrow is not promised to you. The end of this night is not promised to anyone. And so the day you hear the call, the day you hear his voice, harden not your heart, but come to the Most High. Repent with godly sorrow. Fall down on your knees before him. Beg his forgiveness. Let him know that you genuinely, truly are sorry for having transgressed his statutes, his laws, and his commandments, those that you did willfully and those that you did ignorantly. And perhaps he will be merciful. Perhaps he will not impute your sins against you. But once you know, don't go back into the world. Don't make excuses. Turn and serve him with everything that you have, day after day, until the day you close your eyes. Serve him with your whole heart. All right. So we want to look at, on this evening, we're going to be starting in Deuteronomy chapter 9. We're getting close, over 400 of the laws that we have reviewed. We have seen the Most High's nature and how he judges. And when we are seeing, you know, when we are looking at his nature in the scriptures, his nature is to be holy and righteous and to bring judgment right away. But then something about this dispensation here, because we don't see judgment coming immediately. The scriptures tell us, you know, men think that he's slack. But he's not slack. And he says, you know, your lifetime is but a puff of smoke to me. It's like, it's like some steam coming off the stove. And, you know, if you ever looked at steam coming off the stove, you see it and then you don't. That's our life to him. But he knows every second of it. And it's all recorded. He says, so your life is nothing but a drop in the bucket. And my time is not your time. So what you might think is slack and you only hear for a few seconds compared to his time. He says, I must call you back and I'll judge you on that little bit of time you were here. And my judgment's going to be righteous. And so we want to appease him. We want to make him happy. We want to make sure that if we were called from the foundations of the earth, of the world, that we enter in. And so I don't know about you, but my salvation is not something I want to play with. I know that, you know, if this is all there is, if there is no God, no Elohim, if all this is made up, then the scripture says that, and we believe it, if it's all made up and we believe it, it says that we're miserable indeed. Because we only got this short life and we should be, you know, if this is all there is, then you might as well Let me say it this way, but don't take this the wrong way. Rob, rape, and pillage. Because this is all there is. Might as well enjoy yourself to the max in whatever, you know, pleases you, because this is all there is. But if this is not all there is, and there is an Elohim, and there is a life after this one, and then we can't afford to play with our salvation for this few minutes that we're on this earth. So we have to believe that the Most High is going to resurrect us, that he's going to judge us, and all those that he finds fit, that he chose, he's going to give us eternal life in the kingdom, in his presence. All us who fail, he's going to give us eternal life in the lake of fire. So it's not something that we should play with at all. It's not something that we should let anybody drag us down, that we should not achieve the kingdom, because we love them more than we fear the Most High, or we want them more than we fear the Most High. You know, that can't be. Can't be for me. I don't know about you, but, you know, it can't be for me. And again, as I said, I'm no better than anyone else, but I believe the Most High, and I believe his word is true, and I believe that what he allows us to see, we have to act upon it. Can't see it and then don't do it. Can't hear it and then don't do it. So if he's showing me to fear him, there's no way that I can't do that. Or else, you know, what I'm reading and what I'm understanding is for nothing. Anyway, let us go ahead and let us start off this Shabbat. Shabbat Shalom, happy family, happy Sabbath family. I pray that we are all ready to eat from the word of the Most High. I pray that we are all committed 100,000% to the Most High Elohim, that we walk not in doubt, not in fear of this world, but in fear of him. And I pray that we trust that if we put ourselves in his hands, that he's going to deliver us, he's going to keep us, he's going to save us. And if he doesn't come back in our lifetime, we still have to serve him like he is going to come back any time now. We got to serve him with fear and trembling. We got to serve him that we know that what he says he's going to do, he's going to do. And if we go to sleep, we know he's going to wake us up, and he's still going to do what he said he's going to do. So let me have the ladies to cover their heads. Men, uncover your heads, wherever you may be, and let us do our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah according to Luke chapter 1 verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I am of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I am a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give our Elohim a hand clap of praise on this evening. Hallelujah, Yah. Hallelujah, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to your name, glory to your name, glory to your name. Oh, Father, we lift you up and we magnify you. We glorify you and we give you our adoration and our praise. Only you shall we bow down to. Only you will we serve, Father, and we will obey your words. We will obey your voice, Father. Glory to you. Glory to you. Glory to you. You are merciful and you are kind and you are gracious, Father. And hallelujah, we will not try to take advantage of you. Hallelujah, we'll not try to take advantage of your love, Father, but we will reverence you in all that we do. And we will fear you, Father. We will fear. We will fear you, Father, for you are true to your word. Hallelujah. And we know that your enemies, nobody can be for them, Father. And those that you are for, nobody can be against. And so, Father, we just want to be on your side. We want you to be on our side. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Yah. Thank you, Yah. Thank you, Yah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Let us turn toward the east. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercies. We thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for the opportunity to once again come together and to break bread and to observe your Shabbat, a day of rest that you have ordained that your people should keep perpetually throughout all times. Father, we ask that you would forgive us our sins as we forgive those that have sinned against us. We ask that you lead us not into temptation, but that you deliver us from evil. We ask that you hold not the iniquities of our forefathers against us, for they are all gone by the way of the grave, and we are still yet here, seeking to keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments in spirit and in truth. Father, you said that your people Israel have done wickedly, and that we have walked contrary to you, and that you have walked contrary to us. You said, but if we would but turn from our wicked ways and repent from our sins and not complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us throughout all the nations of the world, that you would once again turn your eyes and your ears toward your people Israel, and that you would hear our supplications and our prayers. So, Father, we acknowledge that we have walked contrary to you and that we have done wickedly. And, Father, we are turning from our wicked ways and we are repentant from our sins. And, Father, we won't complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us throughout all the nations of the world. But this will be our testimony. This is what happens to you when you disobey the Most High Elohim. Father, turn your eyes and your ears once again toward your people. Hear our supplications and our prayers, and deliver us from this evil and wicked world. Father, keep us safe no matter where we may be, whether we are in Africa, or whether we are in Europe, or whether we are in North America or South America, wherever we might be on this earth, Father, all those who truly repent, keep them safe, Father. Those that love you, that keep your commandments. You said you will love us. So, Father, turn your eyes and your ears back towards your people. Father, we pray for Israel that is asleep, that you might wake them and give them an unction to come and keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. We pray for Israel that is awake, that you might give us a meek and a humble spirit, the spirit of love, for you are love. We pray for the seed of Abraham, all that are called in Messiah, that they would truly repent and not use Messiah as a sin ATM, but that they would fear and reverence the work that he has done on the cross, and that they would not willfully go back into sin, Father, but they would have respect of his work and of his blood. Now, Father, as we go to work in the kingdom, we ask that you will smile upon this work and that you would give us favor in all that we do. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray, amen and amen. Let us go to 1 Kings chapter 8, the book of 1 Kings chapter 8. And we read this, especially every Shabbat, because I want us to be reminded always, but always, that if we are obedient to the Father, the prayer that Solomon prayed, whether it was for the stranger or whether it was for Israel, that the Most High would hear our prayer and our supplication, as long as we return back to Him with our whole heart. I honestly believe that, I truly believe with everything, my whole being, that if we obey, if we do what the Word says, the Most High hears us, and He delivers us, and He will keep us. When we are weak, He is strong. And we just have to learn to always depend upon Him. The book of 1 Kings chapter 8, starting in verse 46. If they, Israel, no, I'm going to personalize this, okay? Because Israel is both Israel of the flesh and those that have joined themselves to Israel. This is who the Most High considers to be Israel. Just because we are the seed of Abraham or of Jacob doesn't make us children of the Most High. Just because we're that of the flesh. But the Most High is looking for those who fear Him and will obey His voice. He will make them Israel, whether they are of the flesh or of the nations. So let's personalize 1 Kings chapter 8, starting in verse 46. If we sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with us, and deliver us to the enemy, so that they carry us away captive unto the land of the enemy, far or near. Yet if we bethink ourselves in the land, whether we were carried captive, and repent, and make supplication unto thee in the land of them that carry us captive, saying, we have sinned, and have done perversely, we have committed wickedness, and so return unto thee with all our heart and with all our soul in the land of our enemies, which led us away captive, and pray unto thee toward our land, which thou gavest unto our fathers, the city which thou hast chosen and the house which I have built for thy name. Then hear our prayer and our supplication in thy dwelling place, and maintain our cause. And forgive thy people that have sinned against thee, and all our transgressions, wherein we have transgressed against thee. And give us compassion before them who carried us away captive, that they may have compassion on us. For we be thy people, and thine inheritance, which thou broughtest forth out of Egypt from the midst of the furnace of iron, that thine eyes may be open unto the supplication of thy servant and unto the supplication of thy people Israel, to hearken unto us in all that we call upon thee, that we call upon thee. For thou didst separate us from among all the people of the earth to be thine inheritance, as thou spakest by the hand of Moses thy servant, when thou broughtest our fathers out of Egypt, O Yah, Elohim. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For Elohim shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. The book of Exodus. Chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. Exodus chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine, and you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and holy nations. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Deuteronomy chapter 11. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 26 through 28. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of Yah, your Elohim, which I command you this day, and a curse if you will not obey the commandments of Yah, your Elohim, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day to go after other Elohims which you have not known. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, but more so the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen. And as we are commanded to do on the new moon, on the feast days, and on his Sabbath days, we are commanded to sound the shofar.
to know it won't work. Ooh, no, no, no.
You just say one.
And it won't work.
You just say one.
Yeah.
we do.
I've been changed.
I'm a new man. I've been
each and every one of you have been changed for the better by the word of the Most High, that you get this word deep down in your spirit, make it part of your DNA, live by his word. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 9, verse 1. And if you will turn in your Bibles with me, the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 9, and verse 1. And remember, where we see the law at, the covenant, the statutes, and the judgments of the Most High, we want to pay particular attention. But not all chapters, reveal a covenant or a statute or an ordinance or a law or a commandment. But what they do reveal is the Most High's dealings with Israel and what Israel does and how the Most High reacts to it. And so we are also looking for how our Elohim, how he responds, and the way that, you know, he said he doesn't change. So the way that he did things in Torah, in the Old Covenant, in the Old Testament, he's going to do them the same way in the New. He doesn't change. And this is something that the masses, Christendom and the camps have gotten wrong. They are not following the Most High all the way through the book, and they are not putting together his scriptures in a way that reveal and show him for who he is and who, you know, how he says that he's going to be. He doesn't change. So we are in Deuteronomy chapter 9 and verse 1, and we want to, you know, pay attention to all these things. Hear, O Israel, thou art to pass over Jordan this day, to go in to possess the nations, greater and mightier than thyself, cities great and fenced up to heaven. Now, want us to be in the mindset that we got a group of millions of people here. And the Most High has promised those that he's going to take into the promised land that he would give them cities and houses that they didn't have to build, that they're just going to inherit it. And the land is a good land. And this was his land. And, you know, I have to believe that he has dealt with these people. We know that Balaam was a Moabite, but the Most High talked to him. So the Most High has dealt with some other peoples, okay? And so he's gone and he's gotten Israel. He's brought up a nation for himself, an inheritance to himself. And he says, you know, when we read in Exodus chapter 19 and verse 5 and 6, that he would make us a holy nation if he would make us a peculiar people, if it's conditional. If we obey his voice and keep his covenant, then he would make us this holy nation. He would set us above all other peoples. Okay? And so we have the generation that grew up that was not of, they were 19 years old and younger. The children of the people who disobeyed the Most High. He caused them to die out in the wilderness, 40 years to die out in the wilderness. And now he's getting ready to take Israel into the promised land. And so he's saying, I'm going to give you these cities and these peoples that are mightier than you are. They're stronger than you are. They're bigger than you are. But I'm going to deliver them into your hands. There's a lesson in that for us also. No matter what we see before us, no matter how it might look, no matter how daunting it may look, no matter how weak we may look in the situation, if we depend and count on the Most High, he will deliver whatever it is into our hands. We have to know that. We have to believe that. And so this is what, you know, the problem that he had with Israel all along. When they came, he was going to take them into the promised land within a couple of months of bringing them out of Egypt. But because of their unbelief, they had to wander around for 40 years. So they went from a couple of months going to inherit the promised land to wandering for 40 years because of their unbelief. And so this is what he wants us to still believe today, that no matter what it is, if he has said that he's going to give it to us, he will deliver it to us. We just have to keep our eyes on him. Okay? A people great and tall, the children of Anakim, whom thou knowest and of whom thou hast heard, who can stand before the children of Anakim? Anak. He said, you've heard this. Who can stand before these men? You know, they're giants. But he says, I'm going to deliver them to you. Understand, therefore, this day, that Yah your Elohim is he which goes over before thee. We want the Most High to go out before us. We don't ever want to run into anything on our own headlong, because the Most High says, I will fight your battles for you if you will let me, if you will obey my voice, if you will keep my commandments. I will fight for you. But if you don't obey my voice, I will fight against you. Which side of that do you want to be on? Which side of that coin do you want to be on? That's the question you have to ask yourself. Verse 3. Understand therefore this day that Yah your Elohim, it is he which goes over before thee as a consuming fire. He shall destroy them. He shall destroy them. And he shall bring them down before thy face. So shalt thou drive them out and destroy them quickly, as Yah has said unto thee. Speak not thou in thine heart, after that Yah thy Elohim has cast them out before thee, saying, for my righteousness Yah has brought me into the possession of the land. But for the wickedness of these nations, Yah does drive them out from before thee. Now, what he's saying is, hey, don't make it about you. Don't make it about me. And don't make it about we think we're so righteous. So let's read that again. Speak not in thine heart. After that, Yah has cast them out from before thee, saying, for my righteousness, Yah has brought me into the possession of this land. Because, see, we'll think anytime we receive a blessing that Yah is blessing us, we'll think, you know, if we allow it, we will allow ourselves to say, oh, it's because of my righteousness Yah is blessing me. He don't want us to ever be puffed up. But Yah takes from the wicked to give to the righteous. But for the wickedness of these nations, Yah has drives them out from before thee. Because of their wickedness, he's given it to us. Okay? Not for thy righteousness, or for the uprightness of thine heart, dost thou go to possess their land. But for the wickedness of these nations, Yah, thy Elohim, does drive them out from before thee, and that he may perform the word which Yah sware unto thy fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Wasn't that Israel was righteous? Because they proved over and over and over again. Just complained and sinned, didn't trust the Most High. It ain't because of your righteousness, but it's because of the wickedness of these nations. And because if you believe my voice, and if you do what I tell you to do, then you shall possess the land. But if you don't obey, I'll kick you out of the land. And so we got to understand that the Most High is looking for a righteous people. And not puffed up. But just want to be right. Just want to do right. In accordance with his standards, not our own. Then anything in this world, the world is his. The earth is his. That's why he says, I'll make you a kingdom of priests, a peculiar people, and I'll set you above all the people of the earth, for the earth is mine. But you got to do right. And see, we want to claim this thing, but we don't want to keep our word in this thing. And so we can't become weak. We have to want this more than we want anything else. We can't make the same mistakes that our forefathers in the scriptures made. Let's continue. Verse 5 again. Not for thy righteousness, or for the uprightness of thine heart, dost thou go to possess their land, but for the wickedness of these nations, Yah thy Elohim does drive them out from before thee, that he may perform the word which I swear unto thy fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Verse 6. Understand, therefore, that Yah thy Elohim giveth thee not this good land to possess it for thy righteousness. He wants them to understand this. But thou art a stiff-necked people, always murmuring, always complaining, always doing something wrong, but Yah chose us. And so just imagine now, if we just do right. If we just do right. If we just don't be stiff-necked. If we don't try to hold on to our ways, to our morals and our values, our judgments. If we hold on to his, just imagine how much more the Most High would be with us. He says, because I'm not doing this for your righteousness or, you know, how upstanding you are. But I'm doing it because of the wickedness of this people, these people. And you happen to be stiff-necked yourself, hard-headed. Imagine if we just weren't hard-headed or stiff-necked. Remember and forget not how thou provoke Yah thy Elohim to wrath in the wilderness. Remember how you made him mad. From the day that thou didst depart out of the land of Egypt. From what day? From the very beginning that I brought you out of Egypt. From the day you departed until you came into this place, you have been rebellious against Yah. It is still going on today. And, you know, we make excuses to do, you know, just to, like, you know, like we can't help it. But I'm telling everyone under the sound of my voice, no matter where you may be at, imagine what it would be like if we were not stiff-necked, but we were compliant. That we just did what the Most High asked us to do and did it with joy. Also in Horeb, you provoke Yah to wrath, so that Yah was angry with you to have destroyed you. Now, think about this. Yah says, I am an Elohim of my word. And you know, I can only find one place in the scripture. When our forefathers were on the border of the promised land before, and the Most High sent the spies in to spy out the land, and 10 of them came back with an evil report, and 2 came back with a positive report, and the people believed the negative report. And Yah said, you just, after all I've shown you, you still don't believe me. After all I've shown you, you still have no faith in me. And because you have no faith in me, and because you don't believe me, you're going to cause me to break my word. You're going to cause me to break my promise. I promise to bring all of you that I brought out into the promised land. Now, because of the hardness of your hearts, and you're being stiff-necked, and you want to rebel, they were trying to overthrow Moses and Aaron They're really trying to overthrow the Most High. He says, everybody 20 years old and older, you're going to die here in the wilderness. And I'm not bringing all of you in. I'm going to bring your children in. You caused me to break my word. Think about that. Being so stiff-necked and hard-hearted that the Most High says, I can't even keep my promise to you. How many of us have been living our lives that way? You know, we are obedient this month, and then we turn around and some temptation comes, some, you know, weakness comes up, and then we turn back into that old person. The Most High said that that's a rebellion against him. Okay, and we can't be doing that. We have to look at the examples of what our forefathers did and not make the same mistakes they did. Not make the same mistakes they made. So the Most High says, you know what, I can start over. He told our forefathers, they told Moses, you know what, I'll kill everybody. Now this is the stuff we don't pay attention to. We read it, but then somehow we kind of forget it. He says, I will kill everyone. Everyone, man, woman, and child. And start over with you, Moses. But somehow we don't think the Most High will do anything like that. Let's read this. Verse 8. Also in Horeb you provoke Yah to wrath, so that Yah was angry with you to have destroyed you. When I was gone up into the mount to receive the tables of stone, even the tables of the covenant which Yah made with you, then I abode in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. I neither did eat bread or drink water. And Yah delivered unto me two tables of stone, written with the finger of Elohim. And on them were written according to all the words which Yah spake with you. That's why I said our forefathers, they were without excuse. They heard. Now, Moses just told you, he wrote down what the Most High spoke to them. They heard his voice. And whether people want to say it was the voice of an angel speaking for the Most High, if it was the voice of an angel speaking for the Most High, then the angel, they were still the words of the Most High. I just put it that way. But I believe that in this instance, they heard the Most High himself. Okay, let's continue. Which Yah spake with you in the mount out of the midst of the fire in the day of the assembly? And it came to pass at the end of 40 days and 40 nights that Yah gave me the two tablets of stone, even the tables of the covenant. And Yah said unto me, arise, get thee down quickly from hence or from here, for thy people which thou hast brought forth out of Egypt have corrupted themselves. He ain't been gone, he's been gone a little bit over a month, 40 days. And the people have already, now imagine this. They saw the miracles. They saw the Red Sea split open. They saw the pillar of fire. They saw the pillar of the cloud. They saw the Most High bring them manna. They saw the quails fly in every day. They saw the water come out of the rock that fire usually comes out of. The flint rock, which you make fire with. They saw water come out of that and give them water. They saw all the miracles that he did in Egypt. And still, within 40 days, they corrupted themselves, being stiff-necked, hard-hearted, unbelieving, lacking faith, really lacking willpower. Because a lot of times this comes down to your own will. Being strong in Yah, believing in him enough that no matter what, you're not going to let something deter you. You're not going to let something make you go and do something that you know you ought not do. You're not going to let the flesh do it. You're not going to let your own flesh do it. You're not going to let other flesh do it. Because you fear him more than you desire that. And Yah said unto me, arise, get thee down quickly from here, for thy people which thou brought out of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They are quickly turned aside out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten image. Furthermore, Yah spake unto me, saying, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Let me alone. Now, this is the Most High talking. Let me alone, that I may destroy them and blot out their name from under heaven. And I will make of thee a nation mightier and greater than they. He's saying this to Moses. I will kill every one of them and blot out their name from under heaven. But see, somehow today people don't think the Most High kills people. But all through this book, all through this Torah, you transgress, it wasn't a slap on the wrist. So I turned and came down from the mount, and the mount burned with fire, and the two tablets of the covenant were in my two hands. And I looked, and behold, you had sinned against Yah, your Elohim, and had made you a molten calf, and you had turned aside quickly out of the way which Yah had commanded you. And I looked, and I took the two tablets and cast them out of my hands and break them before your eyes. He broke the covenant. He broke the contract. And I fell down before Yah as at the first, 40 days and 40 nights. Go back up there for another 40 days and 40 nights. I did neither eat bread nor drink water because all your sins which you sinned in doing wickedly in the sight of Yah to provoke him to anger. Let's talk about that for a minute, because when we sin, we just think we transgress the law. That's the definition of sin, the transgression of the law. But when we sin, we also provoke the Most High to what? Anger. You say you belong to him. You say you keep his statutes, his laws, and his commandments. You say you love him. But then you transgress. And now the Most High is not mad at them for the simple reason that they transgressed. He's mad at them because they willfully transgressed. I just told you don't make no image of nothing. It ain't like they're ignorant. I told you don't bow down to anything else. And while Moses up on the mountain, what do? Make an image of a golden calf. And ask for it. So this is willful sin. It would have been different if the Most High had never told them, hey, don't do that. Let me call my servant Moses up here and he will return. He will return to you my statutes, my laws, and my commandments, and my judgments to you. So y'all wait on him. And while they're waiting on him, they make a golden calf. The Most High would have said, okay, you did that in ignorance. I didn't tell you. But he had already told them. And that's what's the, you know, when we read this story, and what I think a lot of people just don't pick up on is that the Most High spoke to the people. He told them directly. This is what I require. This is what I want you to do, and this is what I don't want you to do. He told them, then calls up Moses up to the mountain to write it down, and the Most High wrote it down on the tablets. Now take it back to the people. But before he can get back, they have corrupted themselves. Verse 19. For I was afraid of the anger and hot displeasure wherewith Yah was wroth, angry against you to destroy you. Moses, like, I don't know what the Most High is going to do here, You know, I've seen everything he said he was going to do, he did it. Everything he told me he was going to do to Pharaoh, he did it. Now he's mad at this people that he has brought out of Egypt. And he just said, I want to destroy them all. And I'll start over with you, Moses. But Yah hearkened unto me at that time also. So Moses pleads their case. Moses intercedes for them. And Yah was very angry with Aaron to have destroyed him. And I prayed for Aaron also the same time. Now, you know, this is my personal confession. I never recall reading this verse, even though I know I've read it before. Because, you know, my thing has always been, why didn't the Most High kill Aaron for making that calf? You know, because it seems like Aaron made the calf, and then the Most High punished some other people, but Aaron got away scot-free. But we just read, what was in the Most High's heart? And Yah was angry with Aaron to have destroyed him. That means to kill him. And I prayed for Aaron at the same time. So Moses interceded for Aaron too. Aaron was supposed to be dead. When Aaron's two sons, when the Most High came down to dedicate the altar in the tabernacle, and Aaron's two sons burned incense at the wrong time, and the Most High burned them up right away, just fire came out from him and burnt them up. Judgment came immediately. So the Most High was going to kill the entire high priest office, Aaron and his sons. Moses prayed for Aaron. And the Most High had a change of heart toward Aaron, or stayed the execution. But when his two sons transgressed, the Most High killed them right away. Fire came out from him and devoured them. So as we're reading, we see he don't play. Moses, I'll destroy all these people and start over. Moses intercedes. We see Aaron creates, you know, the golden calf, and the Most High is angry with him. And Moses intercedes for him. The fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That's why we have to be right before the Most High if we expect our prayers to go before him and to be heard and for him to answer them and to do them, or to be able to intercede for somebody who has done wickedness. How do we expect for our prayers to go up for somebody and we are in wickedness ourselves? The Most High ain't trying to hear that. And so it's imperative. It's of the utmost importance that we have somebody living a righteous life, somebody who can get a real prayer through. It's imperative, and we are supposed to be the ones. And if we got problems, we can't walk upright before the Most High, who do we expect to get a prayer through? To intercede for anyone. Verse 21. And I took your sin, the calf which you made, and burnt it with fire, and stamped it, and ground it into very small, even until it was small as dust. And I cast the dust therefore into the brook that descended out of the mount. The brook was the brook that the Most High caused the water to come out of to give the people the water. And Moses threw the dust of this idol, this golden calf, in it and made the people drink it. And at Taberah, and at Massah, and at Kibroth Hattaavah, you provoked Yah to wrath. Three more places was a stiff neck and a hard-headed people. Likewise, when Yah sent you from Kadesh Barnea, saying, go up and possess the land which I have given you. Then you rebelled against the commandment of Yah your Elohim, and you believed him not, nor hearkened to his voice. So you know why I went and bought the land. Because the Most High told me to. And I believed him, and I didn't want to delay in this thing. Because I don't want him to say that I walked in unbelief. I want him to be with me and with us. Nor hearken to his voice. You have been rebellious against Yah your Elohim from the day I knew you. Thus I fell down before Yah 40 days and 40 nights as I fell down at the first, because Yah had said he would destroy you. See, for whatever the reason, we look at Moses was an intercessor. And Moses interceded for the children of Israel on numerous occasions. And Yah withheld his judgment. But I want you to pay attention to what Yah wants to do. What he wants to do. And if you don't have a Moses, if you don't have somebody to intercede, and you are walking in wickedness, if you're being stiff-necked, if you're walking in unbelief, this is how the Most High responds to unbelief. This is what how he responds to being stiff-necked and hard-hearted with him. And see, we do this stuff as though it is nothing. But this is how he wants to respond. And see, the problem is today, because we don't see judgment right away, then we think that the Most High is lax, or, you know, we got some type of favor. Don't take the Most High for granted that way. Fear him, and don't think that you got favor. Because he says, you know, I've appointed a day. I've appointed a day. I used to come swift. Now I'm appointing a day which I'm going to judge all men. And so, you know, that's why I said I'm afraid for myself. I prayed therefore unto Yah and said, O Yah Elohim, destroy not thy people and thine inheritance, which thou hast redeemed through thy greatness, which thou hast brought forth out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Remember thy servants Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Look not unto the stubbornness of this people, nor to their wickedness, nor to their sin, lest the land whence thou broughtest us out say. Now look at what Moses is going to say. Lest the land. The land ain't going to say anything. He's talking about the people, Egypt. Lest the people which thou broughtest us out of say, because Yah was not able to bring them into the land which he promised them, and because he hated them, he brought them out to slay them in the wilderness. Moses said, this is what the people are going to say. You weren't able to bring us into the land, and you hated us, and you brought us out here to kill us. Yet they are thy people and thine inheritance, which thou broughtest out by thy mighty power and by the stretched out arm. So Moses appeals to the Most High and says, Most High, your reputation is on the line. Your word is on the line. These people know what you said, that you would bring this people out and that you would bring them into the promised land and that you would deliver them into the promised land. But if you kill them all, like you look at them as one body and you kill them all, then they're gonna be like, hey, you brought them out here really just to kill them. And the Most High listened to Moses. He says, all right, everybody ain't guilty. The ones that are not of accountability age And I now believe that the age of accountability is 19. 19, not 12, but 19. That's the age of accountability. Because everybody that was 20 years old and older, Most High killed them. Said, you're going to die in this wilderness. And he more or less says that everybody who is of the age of accountability, older than 19, 20 years old and older. Let's continue. Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 1. And at that time Yah said unto me, hew or cut thee two tables of stone like unto the first, and come up unto me into the mount, and make thee an ark of wood. And I will write on the tables the words that were in the first tablets, which thou breakest, and thou shalt put them in the ark. Now, he didn't tell Moses to go up there and write this. Moses said, I will write the words that were in the first tables. And I made an ark of shittim wood, and hewed out two tables of stone like unto the first, and went up into the mount, having the two tables in my hand. And he wrote on the tables. Now switching to he, the Most High, wrote on the tables according to the first writing, the Ten Commandments, which Yah spake unto you in the mount out of the midst of the fire in the day of the assembly. And Yah gave them unto me. So again, I think the Most High, like I said, you hear people saying the Most High never spoke to anybody. But Moses and the Most High are saying that he spoke to the nation of Israel. He gave them the Ten Commandments. This is what he expected. He spoke it directly to the people. And I turned myself and came down from the mount and put the tables in the ark, which I had made, and there they be, as Yah commanded me. And the children of Israel took their journey from Berat of the children of Jachan to Mazara. There Aaron died, and there he was buried. And Eleazar, his son, ministered in the priest's office in his stead. And from thence they journeyed unto Gudgoda, and from Gudgoda to Jotbah, a land of rivers and waters. And at that time Yah separated the tribe of Levi to bear the ark of the covenant of Yah, to stand before Yah to minister unto him, and to bless his name unto this day. Wherefore Levi has no part nor inheritance with his children, with his brethren. Yah is his inheritance, according to as Yah thy Elohim promised him. So we know that Yah said, hey, all the tithe in Israel belongs to the Levites. The Levites were to take the tithe and make a tithe to the family of Aaron, 10% of the tithe. So 10% of everything in Israel belonged to the Levites. 10% of what they collected belonged to the tribe, to the family of Aaron, the high priest, for their service to the Most High. And I stayed in the mount according to the first time, 40 days and 40 nights. And Yah hearkened unto me at that time also, and Yah would not destroy you. And Yah said unto me, arise, take thy journey before the people, that they may go in and possess the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give unto them. See, Yah swore it to our forefathers. But when they were stiff-necked, he broke his promise. And, you know, when I saw that, he says, you caused me to breach my promise. You caused me to break my word. And now, Israel, what does Yah thy Elohim require of thee? But to fear Yah thy Elohim. The first thing, what does he require? Is that you fear him. This is the gospel that he said that should go out in the last days. If we go to the book of Revelations, and when, like I said, when I saw it in the book of Revelations, and the Most High had put this in my heart to dwell on this, to proclaim this, the first thing that he wants is for us to fear him. This is what people don't do today. They've been taught that, you know, they got a mediator and they got a friend and he's your buddy. No. No. You do have a mediator. And he does want to change your status from servant to child. But even as his child, the first thing you need to know about daddy is to fear him. But to fear Yahdai Elohim, to walk in his ways, and to love him. The first thing is not to love him. The first thing is not to walk in his ways. The first thing is to what? Fear him. Because if you fear him, you will walk in his ways. And if you understand him, then you will love him. Because you will know that he has your best interest at heart always. His will is to bless you, to be to your good. He wants you, but he expects you to act what? Correct. Come correct. And to serve Yah with all thy heart and with all thy soul. To serve the Most High with all, that means you got to be committed 100%. 100%. Husband, wife, children, mother, father, uncle, aunt, friend cannot come before the Most High. Cannot cause you to waver in your service to him. We read that in, when we bring it into the New Testament, he tells us just flat out, you can't love anybody else more than you love him. You can't love anything else more than you love him. That's why he says with all your heart and with all your soul. That means nothing can come before him. And we will make decisions and put things before him, put people before him, for fear of being alone, for fear of not being loved, for fear we won't have nobody in the bed next to us, for fear we might have to walk alone. If that's what it's going to take to enter into the kingdom, you can't let nothing else stop you from that. So when he says all, that's what he means. And it is conditional. You know, we talked about it last night. The Most High does not love unconditionally. I asked a question. Who thinks that they can love unconditionally? But the Most High does not love unconditionally. There's always a if. If you do this, if you obey me, if you keep my covenant, then all these promises and blessings will come upon you. If you love me, keep my commandments. It's an if condition. And he does not love unconditionally. He don't love everybody. That's another lie. He loved those that love him. And somehow the world has twisted this thing and says, you know, the Most High loves everybody. No, he doesn't. He loves those that love him. That's verbatim right out of the scripture. And how do we show that we love him? That we keep his commandments. That we obey him. That we fear him. Says, you do that, then I know you love me. Because this is what I require of you. You know, how many of us have gotten into relationships and said, this is what I need, this is what I require. And as long as that's what we're getting, we're happy. But as soon as we're not getting what we require, we become very unhappy and very unsatisfied. And if we got it once, then, or at one time, then, you know, and that person stops, delivering those things, then we usually are sprung. Well, they did it before, you know, maybe they'll come back and they'll do it again. And we hold on to that. But the Most High says, this is what I want. I want all your heart. I want all your soul, your body. So you can't just give yourself to just anybody. You can't just lay with anybody. You got to do it in accordance with the way the Most High says do it, so that he will honor it. Because you belong to him. I want you, your whole soul. I created you. Now, bring me your whole self. Dedicate your whole self to me. And the New Testament says, present yourself as a living sacrifice, acceptable and holy to the Most High. What is he saying? Give me all of you. And bring yourself to me in a clean state. Don't present yourself just any way to me, but present yourself holy and clean. This is what he wants. Anything less is unacceptable. And somehow we think that anything less, he has to accept it. He don't. That's us being deceived. That's us being delusional. That the creator of everything, the creator of everything, would have to settle for second best. Think about that. So how could we not present ourselves the best in the best way? How could we not fear him and make ourselves presentable in a way that he will accept us? Why do we think that he's just got to settle? See, that's another one of those mentalities that plays the Most High weak. You know, I heard a brother, it was a pastor, tell me that he believed that he was one of the 144,000. So we went to the scriptures. I said, brother, it said that all these men right here are virgins, and they have not known a woman. Yeah, I believe he's going to give me my virginity back. I said, why would he do that when he can just get somebody that ain't never been with a woman? You have already done that. And see, we do things and then we don't want to suffer the consequences of our actions. So this brother desired to be one of the 144,000, but he also desired to be with a woman. And he couldn't hold himself back from being with the woman and don't realize that he disqualified himself for being one of the 144,000. As though the Most High has to settle for second best. When we don't present ourselves to him the way that he wants, you know, I would truly believe that's what Cain did. This is good enough. The Most High has to accept this. And what did he say? Did he accept Cain's offering? No. He says, why has your countenance failed? Why are you sad? Because I rejected your offering? Because you didn't give me your best? Because you thought that I had to settle for second best? I don't. And I won't. So it's imperative that we clean ourselves up and that we present ourselves as that living sacrifice to the Most High, because this is what he wants. Let's read verse 12 again. Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 12. And now Israel, and now saints, what does Yah thy Elohim require of thee? But to fear Yah thy Elohim and to walk in all his ways. Fear him and walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve Yahdai Elohim with all thine heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of Yah. Oh, wait a minute, we ain't up under his commandments anymore. Oh, I forgot that. It's a lie. It's a lie. Excuse me. So the church, the very thing that the Most High says that he requires, the church wants to take the one verse that and misinterpret it, where he says, hey, if you are in the spirit, then you are not up under the law. And what does that mean? The law was given to us to show us our transgressions. If we're walking in the spirit of the Most High and we're truly walking in his spirit, then we're walking in righteousness. We're walking in holiness. We are not willfully sinning. And he says, you know what? I can deal with ignorant sin, but I ain't dealing with willful sin. So as soon as you willfully sin, you can't be forgiven for that. There's no blood for that. Now you got to go back up under the law. What is the penalty of the law? Death. And so we take it to the Most High, we plead our case, and we pray. We pray that he has mercy. But we ain't going to know until we get before that throne, the great white judgment throne. Because the Most High has never forgiven willful sin, except for in one case, but he said it was the condition of the heart. So if we, you know, as far as I can see, if we come with the heart of David, meaning that we own up to what we did, we repent and we turn away from it and we accept the Most High at his word. So we have to be genuine with it. That's what the Most High loved about David. David was genuine. Oh, yeah, I saw Bathsheba and I wanted her. I did these things. And I was wrong. And David knew somebody or something had to be punished. And he pleaded for his life and he pleaded for the life of that child. And when the Most High said the baby's not going to live, then that baby paid that price. But still, David had to deal with the ramifications or the consequences of his sin, because his sons came against him. So the Most High, he didn't totally get off. You shall not go completely unpunished. I'll forgive you, but you're not going to go completely unpunished. He tells that to Israel. He did it to David. He'll do it to you. He'll do it to me. Only thing I want us to do is get out of this mentality that we can just willfully sin before him and then think that, you know, he's got to respond to us like he responded to David. Because he don't have to. And if your heart is not like the heart of David, then you're really taking your chance of going to the lake. You're taking your chance that the Most High would say, uh-uh. Like you told Esau, uh-uh. Yeah, I know you repented. I know you're sorry. I know you're snotting at the nose right now, wishing you hadn't sold your birthright. But you didn't care about it, so this is so valuable and so precious, and you didn't care about it. You treated it like nothing. No, I'm not letting you repent. I'm not accepting your repentance. See, we don't want to hear that. We don't want to hear that. We want to hear that the Most High is going to forgive us no matter what. That is not his nature. That is not what we see in the scriptures. And so we take some verses and we run with them. But that's not the nature of the Most High. So when we see how he acts and how he carries out in Torah, you know, Moses had to intervene. Still, Aaron, nor Moses. When they Moses sinned one time. Aaron sinned at least twice. When he made the golden calf, and then when he conspired with Moses to say, hey, shall we give you rebels water out of this rock? And most of the time I look at him like, who's we? What do you mean we? You trying to take my glory? Because you trying to take my glory, neither one of y'all going to enter into the promised land. Aaron died first. Next, we're going to read about Moses. Moses, I'm not going to kill you now, but you're not going to get away altogether unpunished. Think about that. Now, and we read in the Elohim of the Blood Covenant, part 31, we read where Moses went back and pleaded his case. He went back to the Most High and pleaded to go into the Promised Land more than one time. And then the Most High finally got fed up and said, don't bring this to me again. You're not entering in. You're going to get up on this mountain and look. North, south, east, and west. But you're not getting in. Let's continue. So the Most High wants Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12. That's what he wants from you. That's what he wants from me. That's what he wants from his creation, man. What he wants from Israel, he wants from each one of us. Fear Elohim, first thing. Walk in his ways. Love him. Serve him with all your heart, with all your soul. Keep his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. Behold, heaven and the heaven. Behold, heaven and heaven of heavens is Yah's, thy Elohim. The earth also, with all that therein is. Only Yah has a delight in thy fathers to love them. And he chose their seed after them, even you above all people, as it is this day. Now, our forefathers had to be something really special. Or should I say spatial? Hear what the Most High says to them. And hear what he's saying to Israel. And remember, Israel was not just the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They came out of mixed multitudes. So there were some people that were not of the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that also inherit the promises. Because they became part of Israel. Verse 15 again. Only Yah had a delight in thy fathers to love them. And he chose their seed after them, even you above all people. Do you think that all the other nations of the earth, when they read this Bible, you think they haven't read that? You know, when I didn't know that we were the people of the book, I was like, wow. The Jews, they are a blessed people because look at how the Most High, look at how God, how he reverences and wants them, how he's willing to put them up above all the other peoples on the earth. That got to give you a sense of pride. But at the same time, the Most High don't like pride. But it's got to make you feel some kind of special way. But then for all the other races, all the other ethnicities on the earth, how do you think it makes them feel? At the Most High chose a people above all other people. So you can see where the conflict is. Now, people think that this is new in the New Testament, but it's not new. Verse 16, circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart. But see, people think that that's new in the New Testament. The Most High wanted this from the very beginning. Circumcise, therefore, the foreskin of your heart and be no more stiff-necked. Cut away that which protects your heart, that which you use to protect yourself, that which you personally think about yourself, that, oh, I don't know if I can do that, or, oh, I don't know if I can give myself that way. Whatever it is that you're using to protect your heart against the Most High, just cut it away. Whatever emotion that is, whatever thought that is, whatever pain that is, whatever pleasure that is, whatever it is, cut it away. Expose yourself, because that's what the foreskin does. It covers. Expose your heart to the Most High. Expose your real heart to Him. This is what He's saying. Circumcise, therefore, the foreskin, whatever protects you, your heart, and be no more stiff-necked. Because, see, people are stiff-necked because of what they believe, because of what they think. What you believe is what you will act upon. And what you don't believe is what you won't act upon. And why are these people stiff-necked? Because they didn't believe that the Most High would do what He said He would do. Even though they saw everything that He did, somehow they still didn't believe He was the most powerful Elohim. Somehow they wanted something else. Typically, it had to do with the flesh, had to do with the pleasure of the flesh. It will keep them from serving the Most High with their whole heart. For Yahweh Elohim is Elohim of Elohims. He is Master of Masters, a great Elohim, a mighty and terrible, which regardeth not persons. Hear this. Nor taketh reward. Can't bribe Him. He's not a respecter of persons. You can't bribe Him. He don't take no reward. He does execute the judgment of the fatherless and the widow, those that are the most vulnerable, and loves the stranger in giving him food and raiment. Love ye therefore the stranger, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. Most I didn't like for somebody to go into any place that they are unknown and be mistreated, because I don't look like you, or you don't look like me. You don't dress the way I dress. You don't talk the way that I talk. You don't have the same customs or mannerisms. And I'm judging you based upon appearance. Don't know nothing about your heart. Judging you based upon, in a lot of instances, I want to feel superior. So if I have power over you, then I can judge you and I can treat you how I want to treat you. Just because of you don't look like me. The Most High says, love the stranger. Why? Because you were a stranger. You know how that feels. Thou shalt fear Yah again. Thou shalt fear Yah thy Elohim, verse 20. Him shalt thou serve, and to him shalt thou cleave, and swear by his name. He is thy praise, and he is thy Elohim, that has done all these great and terrible things. Because people don't think the Most High would do terrible things. You know, in the New Testament, you don't see nothing terrible that the Most High does in there until you get to Revelation. And somehow Christianity just don't believe that the Most High will do terrible things. He's just this all-loving, all-forgiving, all-merciful Elohim. The Elohim of Torah, the Elohim that said He will not change, the Elohim that said that I have appointed a day, He says, I do terrible things, so you better fear me. This is why all the nations fear me. When I came in and killed everybody, they know not to mess with me. When you go in and everybody start dying, they're going to know not to mess with you as a people. They're going to fear me. They're going to fear you. Why? Because I'm going to do terrible things. People fear terrible things. It's what they fear. And unless the Most High does something terrible to you or cause something terrible to come upon you, and then you are allowed to live through it, and then you know it was from him, I think that's really the only time that we really develop true fear for him. Got to know that it was from him. And I don't want no more of that. Thy fathers went down into Egypt, 70 people. And now Yah, thy Elohim, has made thee as the stars of heaven for a multitude. So understand what Yah wants from you, what he wants from me. We ain't going to get away from it. It is the basis. It is the foundation of our relationship with him. It is the beginning of our wisdom to fear him. Keep his commandments. Love him with everything that we have. Serve him with everything that we have. See, we're looking to satisfy our own selves. We're looking to accomplish what it is that we want to accomplish in this lifetime. But Yah says, I chose you. And you said you entered into a contract with me. You entered into this covenant with me. And now it ain't about you anymore. For you are bought with a price. You belong to me. I created you to begin with, but now you have entered into the blood covenant of Messiah. You are bought with his blood. He says, can't nobody come before him. Nobody and nothing. If you love me, keep my commandments. How do you say you love me and obey not my commandments? This is words right out of Messiah's mouth. So as we're looking how the Most High is dealing, it is a law. Fear him. That's a commandment. It is a commandment to love him. It is a commandment to keep his statutes, his laws, and his commandments. It is a commandment to walk in his ways. And the beginning of all that is what? Fear him. If you fear him, that's why I said before. You fear him, you'll do all these other things. You'll learn about them and you will do them. You will find out what makes him happy and you will do it. And you won't do it your way. And you won't do it the way that you've heard that some other people worship their Elohim. Because he said, hey, don't do unto me what they do to their Elohim. Worship me the way that I said worship me. Don't even try to make it up. Don't add to or take away from it. Worship me the way that I said to worship me. That's what's acceptable to me. Don't be like Nadab and Abihu and do what you want to do and find out that it's not acceptable. But do what I ask. With that being said, let us bow our heads. Father Yah, we come before you tonight. Father, reading your rich word. Father, having you to reiterate to us over and over again what it is that you desire of your people. Nothing has changed in the New Testament. Except for we have a way to come back to you. And once we come back to you, we got to come back to this. With the understanding that in the new covenant, you have modified some things, but you don't change. You want us to obey you with our whole hearts. You want us to fear you. You want us to keep your commandments. You want us to walk in your ways. Nothing has changed, and people are teaching that, oh, when you're a Messiah, you're not up under the law, and you don't have to keep the law. And don't let no man judge you of day or a feast day or in meats. Don't let them judge you in any of those things. But these are the things that you have said, that if we touch these things, they are an abomination to you, and we cannot be around you. If we live unclean, you say no unclean person will enter into the kingdom. But if we practice uncleanliness and we still think we're getting into the kingdom, but this is in your New Testament, no unclean person will enter into the kingdom. So men twist your words, Father, to do that which they want to do, which to reveal what's really in their heart. Is it within your heart to please the Most High, to walk in his ways, to fear him with trembling? Or is it in your heart to fulfill your own desires? And you care for those things more than you care for him. Father, look at each person's heart. Show them those things that are not like you. Give them the strength and the willpower to turn those things down and to say yes to you. In everything that we do, Father, that we might be pleasing unto you, that we might present ourselves, those living sacrifices, acceptable and holy unto you. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen. All right, so I pray that you got something out of the reading tonight, and that it will help you, and that it will encourage you, and that it will strengthen you, that it will give you understanding of what Yah, our Elohim, requires of us, and the seriousness of it, that he wants our totality. He doesn't want a piece of us. He wants all of us. I hope that you are convicted to not let anything or anyone stand in the way of your relationship with the Most High. Because none of them, no matter who they are, mother, father, brother, sister, husband, wife, daughter, son, none of them can get you into the kingdom. But they can sure help you get out. Dedicate yourself to the Most High. Walk in his ways. Then you won't have anything to worry about. On tomorrow morning, I believe we're going to be continuing in this. Most I've been putting some other things on my heart, but he hasn't given me time to flesh them out, so I'm not going to present them without being prepared to present them. So we will continue in the Elohim of the Blood Covenant, and we will try to We will move at the most high speed. I'll just put it that way. I can't go any faster than he will allow me to go. Because, you know, this is foundational to our walk with him. That's why we're reviewing his covenant, so that we know that we're serving him according to knowledge and not with just zeal, but according to knowledge. Don't have to guess. He don't really leave anything for us to guess about. Tells us exactly what he wants, how he wants it. And we don't have to guess. We don't have to make it up. We don't have to be bewildered or confused. We just have to do it. Find it out and do it. With that being said, may the Most High encamp his angels around you. May they keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, prayerfully tomorrow morning, remember, I love you. I really do. I cannot love you like the Most High loves you. I can only show you with the Most High, with thus saith Yah Elohim, you have to eat it and do it. Shalom, family. Happy Sabbath.
Never.